From LoveXX, this is The Periodical, where we speak with people who want to advocate change and stop the global menstruation stigma. And hey, I'm your host, Jesse Braun.
Today on the podcast, our guest is going to be Lindsay McEntee, and we're really excited to have her. Lindsay, if you could introduce yourself to our audience, that would be excellent.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Well, I'm Lindsay, and I'm the Chief Ovulation Officer for a company called Flow. That was actually an accident. It started off Chief Operation Officer, but ovulation is so much more fun.
Yes.
Just quick, AmpFlow is a buy one, give one subscription box for 100% cotton tampons and pads. So you go online, customize your box, and for every box you buy, we donate one. As far as my role, I just kind of keep it running, get the boxes sent out, all front end communication. We are a startup, so basically that's a fancy title for does a little bit of everything. So excited to talk to you guys about menstruation.
Yeah, we are so excited to have Lindsay. And for the listeners who are caught up on all of the episodes, when I had the Krista Greco, she's the CEO of Guerrilla Feminism, we had a conversation about Aunt Flo, which is the reason why we wanted to reach out and speak with, you know, any member of Aunt Flo. So that's how Lindsay came about, and you know, we're so happy to have her.
I'm excited. The Guerrilla Feminism was, the piece was actually really, really beneficial to us. So excited to get into that maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so Lindsay, when did you first learn about menstruation?
Actually, it's funny because I have had kind of this like weird relationship with menstruation. Never thought it would come to talk about it for a living, but actually my mom is a nurse, and we've always been super close and super open about things, but I actually don't ever remember getting like a talk about menstruation. I remember I was sitting in one of my friends, we were having a sleepover, and we were looking at a magazine and there was advertisement for Playtex or something. And I think I asked my friend, like, what is this? And she kind of had the burden of explaining it, what it was. So, I think that just speaks to really like how we don't talk about it. And I had to have another like fifth grader explain to me what it was, even, you know, when I had a nurse as a mom. So, that was kind of my foray into menstruation. So I would love to make it so that people didn't have to learn about it that way.
Yeah, definitely. So did you never had any sort of like maturation talk in school or anything like that?
I think it was probably about the same time we did have I think it was about fifth grade. They kind of talked about it, but I remember actually they combined, we had like two fifth grade classes and they combined them, and it was supposed to be about like reproductive health and stuff. And apparently they deemed our grade like too immature to talk about
it.
So we had like a, yeah, I know. Thinking about this now, like, it just like went right over my head. But thinking about it back, we had too many people in our grade that they thought were too immature, which probably means they needed it the most. But so they kind of like skipped reproductive health and went kind of talked a little bit about puberty for like one day and like gave us all little sticks of deodorant. So I remember it just being like very lacking. It got better, I think, as we went into like eighth grade health and like 10th grade health. But by that time, I had already had my period. So it was kind of.
You like learn from experience.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy. So I feel like the sleepovers and magazines are like the big education tool for a lot of girls.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is not great. I have learned to not really, I pretty much worshipped pop culture, and I've learned to kind of sidestep that now.
So then when did you have your first period, and what was that like?
That was also kind of not ideal as well, although it could have been a lot worse. I don't actually remember exactly what age I was. I was in middle school, maybe 12 or 13, and my parents were divorced, and I was at my dad's house, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, like, what is this? And like, I don't even think I like registered what was going on. And I was like, Dad, like, I don't know. And he's like, oh, honey, you should probably call your mom. And I was like, okay. And so I called my mom, and she was like, oh, okay. I'm like, well, you know, I'll come pick you up and I'll like show you what to do. Like it wasn't awkward or anything. I mean, it was a little embarrassing, but it could have been worse. My dad could have been like horrified or something, but you know, luckily I had a mom to call and she knew how to say she wasn't like, I didn't have a whole like, oh, you're a woman now talk or anything. It was very like tactical. Like this is how you take care of it. So.
Right. Cause she's a nurse. She's like, let's take care of this. Just some blood.
Yes.
And then like, so how was that within your friend group or your peers? Where did you call your girlfriend or any friends and be like, oh, by the way?
No, actually I remember not want, like, I don't remember ever talking about it, like being like, oh, it's a good thing or a bad thing. I really remember being like quite embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Like there was just like a lot of shame around it. And no one else really brought it up either. It was like silence until I think maybe we got to like eighth or ninth grade. We were 14 or 15. And I remember like at some point, like somebody broke the silence and it was like, we were all waiting to talk about it. And we were like, yeah, this and whatever. But I remember for a long time, like there was no like celebrating. It was just like it was happening and I was going to be quiet about it.
Interesting. Yeah. The amount of shame that is, you know, centered around it is so bizarre. And then it's funny that, you know, once you do start talking about, all of a sudden everyone has all these stories and everything they want to say. And it's just kind of snowballs.
Oh, with like Aunt Flo, when we bring it up or we talk to someone or whatever, people are like so quick to jump into like, oh yeah, this is my period. Like, this is what I use. Like, it's like people are just waiting to talk about it. And somebody just like has to make it okay.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, just having a safe space to talk about something that is such a big part of your life.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. So like, what's a more memorable period, good or bad?
Well, actually when I first started my period, it was like I had terribly unmanageable periods. They would last for like 3 weeks at a time.
Oh, wow.
I would have terrible cramps, like to the point where like I couldn't go to school.
Yeah.
And I have been on birth control to regulate those periods since I was about 14. So it was really like that was adding to the shame. Like I was ashamed anyway. And
right.
Ashamed that there was so much blood and like it was just never ending. So it was like it was just double trouble basically.
Yeah.
Which I really I would have been able to talk about it. It would have, you know, eliminated some of like I was already in enough pain, like bleeding and cramping for 3 weeks, like without being ashamed of it.
Wow. That's really, I mean, that's just like a kind of a big burden to have to bear for a young 14-year-old, you know, you're new to the whole menstruation thing. Your periods are irregular and you have to go see a doctor about all of this and you can't even talk about it.
Yeah.
Were you diagnosed with any like medical condition or was it just like a little bit abnormal?
I think there is like a I think it might be called dysmenorrhea. Don't quote me on that. Which is just basically a fancy word for irregular periods, irregular heavy periods. And it's not that uncommon. You know, like I thought I was like dying. It's not uncommon. And it's uncomfortable, but it's really easily fixed. I just, you know, I was on birth control and regulated my hormones and has been
good ever since.
Regular and manageable ever since. So
great.
Another thing, you know, be able to talk about it so that you can get help.
Okay. So what is your favorite feminine hygiene product?
I actually, and this is like another place where I'm on the outsiders. I remember when my mom was like first showing me how to, you know, deal with it. She was like, well, you wear this pad for a while, but you know, eventually maybe once you have your period for a little longer, you'll wear a tampon. And so I basically just like wore pads and then it came time, I think I wanted to go swimming or something, I was going on vacation. So I tried to wear a tampon, and it actually hurt really bad. And so I was like, again, like thrown out of this, like even like cool menstrual product, like you like have to go wear pads. And like, I still wear them. Yeah. It's what's comfortable for me. And some people are like, that's so gross. I'm like, well, that's rude. But, yeah. And so, like, again, just kind of feeling this, like, shame about even what kind of product I'm using. I mean, like, if you're going to talk about a product, it's tampons, because tampons are, you know, the cool product. And I've actually talked to a lot of people about this since AmpFlow, when they ask us about our pads and our offerings and what they're like. And they've expressed that same frustration. Like, you have three types of tampons. Why do you only have one type of pads? And so I feel like there's even stigmas within the stigmatized subject.
No question about that. Mm-hmm. Which is ridiculous, because realistically, pads are the best and safest route. You know, anytime you put a tampon inside you, organic or not, there is a little bit of a risk there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just feel like people should experiment, and whatever is good for them is good for them. And don't worry about what anybody else is doing.
No, totally. It's a good motto for life. Yeah, and I think it's interesting, because I interviewed someone else in the podcast that was also a very big – I have several friends that are only pads, and she was like, you know, I'm a granny, I use the pads. And I'm like, don't even label yourself like that. Like, let us just – like, let's – no, this is a safe space. Whatever product you use works for you, because all vaginas are different sizes, and we have different preferences. And just because I'm, you know, doing this podcast now, I'm trying all sorts of different products every time my period comes. Yeah. And so I'm sort of constantly leaking, or like not prepared for what's about to happen.
Yeah.
So I totally.
That is some mad respect, because, man, like, the leak fear is some of the worst fear I've ever felt, which I'm also trying to get over. But so that's. Serious props to you.
Thanks. I think I had at one time I went to work, and I don't even know what happened. I ride the subway to work every day, and I had bled through everything, and I had got to work, went to the bathroom, took off my coat, and was like, oh, I'm gonna head right home. I just like left.
It's like that moment when you realize, and you're like, how long have I been walking around like this?
Yeah.
But
it's crazy.
It hasn't happened to me in a while, actually, so.
Okay, so then I guess, what are your thoughts, jumping ahead, since we already did talk a little bit about birth control, what are your thoughts on, you know, period sex?
Period sex. That's funny. I've, when I first started working with AmpFlow, the founder and CEO and my boss, I guess, she likes to think of it more of a partnership. But anyway, she was like, we are edgy. Like, you have to be able to yell about vaginas and tampons and period sex. I was like, okay. So like, that was funny. So we're like totally about it. And actually, one of our friends who it's like an awesome intersectional feminist, just like killing it, woke in every way. She was like, it's just sex. Like, it's just sex. It's not some sort of fancy sex on your period. Like, it's just sex. So like, that's kind of how I like to think about it. I've personally never actually done it. But like, hey, if you're prepared and you want to do it, go for it. I know my best friend actually did it for the first time, and her boyfriend was like, oh, it's fine, like, it's whatever. And so she was like, okay. I think he learned the true reality of a period that day. So if for nothing else, maybe educational purposes.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Beautiful. Yeah, it can definitely be messy, but in all the right ways. Yeah. And it's funny, because I just started I haven't just started, but there's this show on HBO called True Blood. It's like a vampire show. So it's pretty feministy, actually. There's so much blood, so much sex. I'm like, you know, period sex is basically like hot vampire sex.
Oh my god, that's great.
That's what I've been thinking.
Refer to it as now.
And then I was also sort of thinking about maybe, and I haven't even, this is the first time I'm ever going to say this, but I know that at one point we're going to have an episode about this, but like period sex porn fetish. Like, I have to do some research and see if that's a thing, because I feel like it has to be.
I bet it's there.
Right?
I bet it is there.
Okay.
I'm going to follow up on that.
Yeah. just be prepared, you guys. It's coming. It's an episode that I'm going to research. We're going to talk about it. Okay, so then you're on birth control. Do you think that helps curb your PMS symptoms, or are you just on the pill, or do you want to elaborate more about what kind of birth control you're using?
Yeah, I just use a birth control pill, a low estrogen one. I don't really know what like life is without it. I tried to go off it once just to like experiment. And they were like, you may have outgrown that, like, you know, you're not in puberty anymore. And so I did, I tried to go off it once and they came raging back. So I was like, okay, I think this is a like for life thing. So yeah, so I'm just on the pill and it, I mean, it regulates it really well. As far as like bearable cramps and heavy flow, I still definitely think I experienced that. Like I'll be like looking at something on the internet and I'll just like start crying and I'm like, what? Like, why are you crying? And then I'm like, oh, and also super tired. Like I'm always tired, but like it takes steps it up a notch when I'm on my period.
Yeah. Sleep is like number one. Mm-hmm. For PMS.
And I've read, don't drink caffeine. I'm like, what are you trying to do? Kill me here? Like, this week is going to take me out.
That's so funny. So do you bloat at all?
Actually, that is not, like, something I've ever really noticed.
Wow, you're so like, lucky.
Like, I don't know if I'm just not tracking it well, but I've never really noticed like that my pants fit differently or anything. So maybe I like escaped that one, or I wear a lot of leggings and just don't notice.
That's so funny that you just said leggings, because I started my period today. Hello, I'm bleeding. And I've been like super bloated for the past 3 days. So 3 days ago, I was like really upset. Like, what's with this weight gain? Like, what's going on? And then I was like, okay, wait, my period's coming. And then it came today. And I literally just ordered like a really expensive pair of leggings online. And now I know why I did that. And it's all making sense now.
Hey, leggings are worth it. That is they're a true investment. That's what I like to think.
No doubt. Okay, so when you do have cramps, what are your like tips or tricks to help cope with the pain?
That's funny. I am mostly, well, sometimes I'm just like ridiculously stubborn and I'm like, I'm not going to do anything. Like, I'm just going to like work through it. But that's a little silly. If it gets bad enough, I usually, ibuprofen is my go-to. Mm-hmm. I'm good to go at that point.
Okay, so what else personal about your period do we want to talk about?
Like, oh, I think I remember one time I must have been in like ninth grade, and I was in the cafeteria, and like I used to like be so paranoid. Rough. I would wear like 3 pads, and honestly,
how does that happen? How can you wear 3 pads?
Like one up the front, or like one regular, and then like. And like probably totally unnecessary and probably actually made the situation worse. But I was so paranoid, and I did actually have one friend that like we would like whisper about periods. And like one day we were both like, oh, we're like so terrified of leaking. And so we became like the one person, like we'd just be like, can you check? And we'd like know what the other one meant. I remember one day I was like, okay, like, can you check? And she was like, yeah. And so I get up and she was like, yes. And I was like, no. I was like, you're messing with me. You're messing with me. And she's like, no, there is. And I remember just like being mortified and like running out of the cafeteria.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like very like adolescent TV show moment. But that like definitely speaks to the like little moments of like period camaraderie that I wish could be bigger.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I remember with my girlfriend, we too had something like, can you check? And I would like hurry and like walk in front, like, and I'd like bend over a little bit, like, is there anything?
I know, like, she would probably be like, her head would be like underneath looking up, like as if no one knows what's going on. But
I
know.
Or I would always be like brushing my butt off, but like very close to my crotch.
Like maybe to see if
you could like feel something wet, like constantly touching my butt.
All this, yeah, like that's so much better. Yeah, like all the slick maneuvers. The black pants were usually a fave. Long sleeves.
Always, yes. Okay, well, how did you get involved with Ant Flow?
So I just graduated from Ohio State in May.
Congrats! Woohoo!
Thanks. Everybody tells me that. I'm a nerd. I love school. So I was not too happy to be leaving. But
there's always grad school.
I Right. I know. It's worked out well, though. I'm really happy to be like kind of out of school doing something. But so I graduated, kind of dilly-dallied around the summer, and then my lease ended. And I was like, okay, time to get serious. I have degrees in English and marketing, and I was a women's studies minor.
Oh, so beautiful.
AmFlow has kind of AmFlow has kind of come together perfectly. However, I really wanted to go like pretty much into a traditional nonprofit. And then this whole route of like social enterprise has kind of come about with, you know, for-profit businesses, but are mission focused. And I'm really like interested in this because I think it's more of a sustainable way to make an impact. With traditional nonprofits, usually your funding comes from grants. And when that money is gone, that money is gone. and so for-profits are kind of this interesting new way to make a difference. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely. So much love for nonprofits, and I will probably end up in one day. And I love working with them with AmFlow, but it's just kind of this intriguing new way to go about helping people. So anyway, so that's kind of where I actually just found like a tiny little link to AmFlow on some social enterprise website. And I was like, wow, this girl like is killing it. Like I'm lost and I want to know like how to do something like this. So I just reached out to her and we just talked a little bit, and she was like, hey, I'm looking for some help. And I was like, okay, I'm not doing anything else, like sitting in my mom's house, like looking for a job. And so it started off in kind of like a really small capacity, just like taking on social media and then more outreach and then just random tasks that there always are in a startup. And then this in February, she was able to take me on full time, which is, you know, really awesome personally, but also a pretty awesome milestone for a startup to be able to take on an employee.
Oh, yeah. So you're her only employee, just the two of you guys.
Yes. Yes.
And you guys are killing it, might I add. Like, you guys, like, I saw all the your Instagram with all of the tampons from March. I was like, oh.
Yes, I was so proud of building that wall. I was like, this is an Instagram moment.
Beautiful.
And it was an easy way to count. But thank you so much. We don't do it alone, though. We have actually a chief creative officer. Her name is Alexa Hanna, and she's awesome, helping us out with graphic design and some product development. And she's still in school. So we're definitely not doing it all alone, but we are the only two employees.
Oh, I love to hear this. I think it's incredible.
Thank you.
Okay, so say I'm like ready to like get on this tampon wagon with AmFlow. I like go to AmFlow.com. Yeah. Oh, AmFlow.org.
Yes.
AUNTFLOW.ORG. I like pick my monthly, like just walk me through the process.
Walk you through the process. Okay, so yes, AmFlow.org. You'll go on, you'll see there's like multiple places to hit subscribe. So you go on, hit subscribe, and it will direct you to a place to customize your box. Like I said, we have super, regular, and light tampons and regular day pads. And you can customize your box in increments of six, which is really awesome. You know, you can have some for your light days, some for your heavier days, backup pads. I really love that feature. So then you go on and click next, and you will be able to choose your frequency. So you can either get a subscription where you'll be billed every month, or you can get just pay for 6 months out or pay for an entire year.
And what's your guys' average price, like per month, if you just do, to say you just did tampons?
If you're going to pay every month, it is $13 a month. Okay. If you pay out 6 or 12, there's a little bit of a discount on that, but flat out we $13 a month. So from there you go and you get to select your beneficiary, which is kind of cool. You can read up on them.
Super cool, you guys. You can pick where your free box goes, which is, I don't know any other company that's doing that.
Yeah, it's pretty. So, you know, you can really see where you're making the impact. We have 5 beneficiary organizations that we vet and work with, and they rotate every quarter. So you can pick one. Incredible. We try and have we are based in Columbus, Ohio. So usually we have about 2 here, and then 3 are based around the country right now. We have 1 in Texas and 1 in Chicago. We've had them in Missouri, and we're hoping to expand to New York and California soon. We're in talks with some organizations there. you can pick your box, or you can pick where your box goes, or you can pick the flow fund, which means they will disperse your organization equally to all five. So it's really cool. We have try and work with a variety of causes. We have victims of human trafficking, or, you know, sometimes just food banks or women's shelters. So that's pretty cool. You can kind of see exactly where it's going. And then you'll check out. It's $13 a month. We will send it to your house every month. They are shipped out on the first of the month. And each box, we have a free gift. And then so after the quarter, so 3 or 4 months ends, we amass the donation and we send them out to the different organizations. Our first cycle just ended, and we are going to be donating 22,000 from that cycle. So that's super exciting. Wow,
that's incredible.
And that's just in our first 4 months of business. So, you know, with a little more traction, we're really excited to be able to make even bigger.
Yeah, you guys are killing it. That is awesome. I'm really happy for you guys. So everyone, go to antflow.org, subscribe, try a box, let us know what you think. Oh, and that brings us to another point, how you guys were, you know, open-minded and, you know, critical to the packaging and the slogans and wanting to be inclusive for all bleeders.
Yes, definitely. So this has definitely been a process, and I think we've learned that, you know, this is company's responsibility to be constantly listening and changing and evolving. And so when we first started out, you know, our broad mission is to make sure everybody that needs tampons or pads or menstrual products has what they need. And so we kind of, with the buy one, give one model, we kind of zoned in on socioeconomic status. You know, regardless of socioeconomic status, you have the products you need. So we're built on this mission of inclusivity. And we were realizing that we were using the word feminine and woman and really not very inclusive with regards to gender or gender identity. And so me, as the raging feminist, as I like to call myself, the word feminine hygiene has always kind of hit me the wrong way.
Definitely.
It's skirting around what it is. It's another way not to talk about it. And it's kind of hard to say. It's hard to say, and it's not very descriptive. So that's where we kind of started to dismantle that rhetoric. And then we changed it to menstrual hygiene products. And we were like, still hard to say. And everybody also already thinks menstruation is disgusting and gross. And so we're like, we're ditching hygiene because menstruation is natural and totally cool. So, and it's, you know, it's what we're selling and it's easy to say and it's straightforward. So all of our products are menstrual products. And so it's kind of started with that rhetoric change, which as an English major, I like studied rhetoric, and just I truly believe that every word that comes out of your mouth counts and has an impact. And so that was a really important switch. And then we were moving forward and we realized we were saying women, and women are not the only people. Cis women are not the only people that menstruate. So we've changed it to person and gender neutral pronouns. It's really these like really simple measures that we've gotten some awesome feedback about, like, this has never, you know, been an option for me. And I've always, you know, felt so ostracized, and, you know, my period already can cause me so much stress, that this is really, really helping. And actually, Guerrilla Feminism, that was when they tested out our product. At that point, we hadn't really made this switch entirely. And that was one of their suggestions. And that was really something that like hit us hard. And we really have made the investment to switch. And we are so thankful for that. So that's awesome that we were able to kind of circle back around.
Yeah, definitely. And we talk about, I feel like this every conversation I talk to with a lot of people, it just always comes back to that same thing. You know, this menstrual movement in and of itself, being as progressive as we want to be and trying to break this taboo, where there's all these roadblocks because the language for centuries has been so cis sexist that it's just, you know, like literally the name of the product, feminine hygiene, is a roadblock to help with this taboo. So it's beautiful that you guys have, you know, were open to the criticism and had made those changes, which I think one critique that LaCrista and I had was the name Aunt Flo. She was like, you know, I feel like it's sort of dated, blah, blah, blah. But like now that I'm sort of thinking about it a little bit more, it's kind of kitschy in like a fun way. It's like a play on it, sort of. So I don't know. Yeah,
we thought about that as we were making the changes, and we were like, well, our name is inherently female. It's inherently gendered. And so we really thought about that. And the thought behind our name is we really are trying to make people feel comfortable about talking about menstruation. And we think a great way to do that is to kind of draw them in with a little bit of humor. We make them laugh. We're like, have you heard about Aunt Flo? And they're like, yeah. And we'd be like, well, listen to this. And, you know, after we've kind of like shared that little laugh, we are able to talk about it. And so that's like, we've been super successful with that. And so we've kind of like appropriated the euphemism and we're making people talk about it instead of, you know, the name being something that people use to not talk about it. Right. So that's kind of our thoughts there. And we know, you know, aunt is generally female. So that was something we toyed with, but we think that it's been successful in helping us talk about it. And so we think that outweighed, you know, starting over.
Right. And I think it's interesting that you mention it being a benefit or, you know, like you win some, you lose some, you know, you can't always be perfect. And we actually are releasing an episode in the future, in the next few weeks, that actually we talk about an article that talks about the name feminine hygiene. And at the end of the day, it is kind of a gray area because like we want to break this taboo, but so many people are so set in such cis-sexist terms that if sometimes you're not as explicit to what some of these old names or old things are, they may not even know what you're talking about. So we're definitely in a progressive move forward. I think Aunt Flo is there. Hopefully this podcast is there. But to bridge this gap, there's got to be a little bit of hand-holding.
Yeah.
Which I think is important to call out a little bit there.
I think awareness is great, but I don't think awareness is enough in most cases, you know, applying that to everything. But to just be like truly conscious of what you're saying and what you're putting out there and evaluating all the good and the bad. And, you know, in this case, that wasn't something, you know, it wasn't something we just pulled out of a hat. That was, you know, a gimmick and a marketing ploy. So we really have thought about it and we totally see the issues there, but you know, we've weighed that.
Yeah, and I think as someone who, you know, recently was brainstorming with this podcast, which we share the blog name, so the periodical and Aunt Flo's blog is also called the periodical. There are actually several other period companies with blogs called the periodical. It's perfect for this topic. But just, you know, the thought of coming up with a name about a period is like there are so many like hoops of fire you have to jump through to even like be taken seriously, to even have people look at it without shame, you know, like even just social media, I find the traffic that I get is massive, but yet the interaction is very limited or minimal because there's so much stigma and shame. And, you know, with social media, a lot of your friends see what you're liking or whatever. And so I'm like, it's so hard to really come up with what's going to work.
Yeah.
I wish people would realize how difficult this, you know, menstrual bubble is to be a part of. Yeah.
A lot of the times and this applies to a lot of parts of my life, I go back and forth between that, you know, like how do we open this communication, which is so critical, and being like, you know, like, so where do we meet halfway, or just being like, no, like they can meet me here. Like this is where I want to be. This is where progress is going. So it's definitely a fine line and a difficult space to talk in, but definitely worth it.
Yeah, for sure. So since you've been with Aunt Flo, I'm assuming you're not free bleeding down the street. Like, here's my period, you're less ashamed, or like, have you seen, like, what would you say your progress has been overall with your own personal dealing with the shame and stigma?
Yeah, I definitely think it's made me like put my money where my mouth is. I know growing up, like when I would ask my mom to like go buy pads or something, I called them items. Like it would be like a discreet text, be like, "Mom, did you get the items?"
Oh, like, that's so funny.
I couldn't like even say it, and like
even in a text.
Yeah, and I'd be like, okay, like, it was so, and, like, I would, like, shove them, like, deep in my purse, and, like, I would, like, take my whole backpack to the bathroom with me in school and stuff, and now, so that's been, like, a slow opening up of that, like, and, like, just say that, like, how much just saying the word pad can do, like, just say it, like, it will, like, free you.
It's like Voldemort.
He's gonna kill you either way, so might as well use the name. Yes. So like just it's definitely, you know, like I've not been a person that's been like screaming about menstruation my whole life. Like, so I think it's a good testament to the fact that you can progress. And I feel so much more comfortable now. Never did I think that I would get to the point where I'd be like throwing tampons at men and be like, have you ever seen one of these out of the wrapper? No, but I think it's really important just to get everyone involved. And so, yeah, I mean, just like just doing it, it's uncomfortable. Sometimes I am uncomfortable, you know, talking. People, I just graduated. People want to know what my job is. I'm like, oh, I work for a tampon company. And they're like, oh, and I'm like, yes. And so like these people that I've kind of grown up with and, you know, even men explaining like, yeah, I sell tampons and pads. It can be uncomfortable, but I just like 100% don't shy away from it. And that has been awesome for me.
I think there's a lot of similarities, obviously, in, you know, that now that I'm doing this side project, I relate really well with, you know, when people ask me about what I'm doing on the weekend or what's my podcast about. And yeah, it's taken me some time, but I'm definitely getting more comfortable in the awkwardness of explaining, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I used to really feel the awkwardness with them and sort of cringe with them as we sort of like mumbled or muffled through this awkward chit-chat conversation. But now I sort of like to present the information and kind of just like give them the look, like watching them squirm in awkwardness as I stand strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really empowering. And I really am. Yeah. I'm happy to finally, I mean, I'm not here every time, depending on who it is, but it feels really good.
And I think like it's the way to do it. I mean, they feel awkward, I think, and the squirming is definitely there. But if you like stand there and you're like, this is okay, they start to think it's okay too. So yeah, it's really, it's awesome. It's empowering for yourself and I think for other people.
Definitely. And I think it makes them question, why am I uncomfortable about this? Mm-hmm. You know, when the other person isn't. It's so silly. It's ridiculous. Like, the more I think about it, it's just like, this doesn't make any sense.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, so the last question I like to ask is, what are you going to do going, and for you, this seems so silly, but what are you going to do going forward to help end the global menstruation stigma?
Well, I feel like I've been super lucky to be able to make something I care about my job. Yeah. And I think that, you know, that would be my advice to people that you can do it. You can have a job that you love and is furthering what you really believe in. So I guess keeping my job would be the answer.
Going to work. But
going to work. And I, you know, just really believing in what I'm doing, letting people know, like, you got to buy this either way. So you might as well do some good while you're at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, behind, you know, more so than just, you know, getting these products into the hands of people that need them. You know, just having a whole brand behind it that is loud and wants you to talk about it, I think is where we need to be going with organizations and companies in general.
Yeah, incredible. You guys, Lindsay and all of our friends at Aunt Flo have been generous enough to provide all of the listeners to this episode with a code. The code is THEPERIODICAL. And if you go to auntflo.org and sign up and use the promo code THEPERIODICAL, you can get your first box for free.
Everybody go visit us at auntflo.org. Get your tampons, get your pads, and please go follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All of them are at Go Aunt Flo. G-O AUNTFLOW. If anyone would like to reach out and chat, my email is Lindsey, LINDSEY, at antflow.org.
Thank you so much, Lindsey, for that generous code. I'm super excited to try antflow.org, you guys. And I'm even more excited when the next month rolls over to know that when I'm buying tampons for myself, I'm also getting tampons for someone in need, which is incredible.
Awesome.
Lindsey, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. Congrats to the growth of AmpFlow. And thank you so much for all the hard work that you're doing to help end the stigma.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for keeping this conversation open. What you're doing is so awesome.
Thank you.
We know you have a lot to say about periods, too. We want to hear your stories and opinions. Go to love-xx.com. That's www.love-xx.com. Plus social media, Instagram and Facebook. We're there. Come hang with us. And of course, subscribe on iTunes. Every time somebody subscribes, a Menzie fairy gets her wings. Love, XX.